teams who needed experts? 4. What was challenging about the experiment? 5. What succeeded with this experiment? 6. What failed with this experiment? 7. What did you learn from this experiment? 8. What will you do in the future? This is one way to help teams learn how to collaborate and explore with each other. 15.1.2. Ask the teams to pair around features. When you pair, two people work together to finish a piece of work. Traditionally, two developers paired. The driver writes the piece of work. The other person, the navigator, observes the work and provides review as the two people complete the work. As they work together, they trade places, say every 15 to 20 minutes. Arlo Belshi wrote a great article called Promiscuous Pairing in Beginner's Mind, Embrace Inexperience, where he explains how you don't need to be an expert to be an effective pair or pair member. When team members pair for features they deliver, they focus. If they need help, they don't get stuck because there are always two people working on one feature discussing what to do next. Encourage different varieties of pairing. Developer/developer, developer/tester, or even a triad, which starts to look like a swarm. 15.1.3. Ask the teams to swarm around features. When teams swarm, the entire team works toward finishing a feature. Sometimes teams split into smaller chunks where people work on what they can and then rejoin the team. Sometimes they all work together, as in mob programming. When I teach one of my Agile workshops, I challenge people to take one feature as a team and complete it within 1 hour. Some teams do it by having the product owner explain what the feature is in detail. Then the developers pair and the testers write tests, both automated and manual. They all come together at about the 45-minute mark. They see if what they have done works. It often doesn't. Then the team starts to work together to really swarm. What if we do this here? How about if this goes there? Some teams work together from the beginning. What is the first thing we can do to add value? That is an excellent question. They might move into smaller pairs if necessary. Maybe. Maybe they need touch points every 15 to 20 minutes to reorient themselves to say, where are we? They find that if they ask for feedback from the product owner, that works well. If you first ask, what is the first thing we can do to add value and complete this story? You're on the right track. Note how with pairing and swarming, people don't get stuck. They reduce their WIP. They deliver. 15.2. Teams think they are agile, but they're not. There are many examples of teams thinking they're agile. Some have hardening sprints. Some organizations have development teams and testing teams. What I see often is developers working on one feature, followed by testers working on that same feature. A hardening sprint is an example of testers and developers working to finish the software to get it done. Help the teams learn how to get each story to done in 1 or 2 days. 15.2.1. The team works in sequential iterations of developer/tester. Teams work in sequential iterations, where first there is one iteration of development for 2 weeks, and then one iteration of testing for 2 weeks. If you're like some of my clients, you even overlap the first week of testing, but you have 1 week of testing that extends beyond the last week of development. When we look at the pictures of staggered development and testing in Figure 15.1 of the supplemental materials, it doesn't matter how long the development or the testing iterations are. It matters how long the sum of the iterations are. If each iteration is 2 weeks, then the sum is 4 weeks. If you spend 2 weeks developing and 3 weeks testing, you have a 5-week iteration. It takes 5 weeks to get feedback and to know if the feature you developed is good. The feature isn't done until the testing is done. You can ask the teams to experiment with a self-organization around features. You might ask the teams to swarm around features. You might ask the teams to pair around features. Those are just 3 options. Maybe something else would work for your environment. Remember, if the testing occurs after the development, the developers are already on to the next features. The team incurs a delay in the feedback. The developers incur a delay because of the multitasking, stopping what they work on now, fixing the problem, and returning to the feature under development. Avoid staggered development and testing. Teams that stagger their development and testing find continuous integration or providing a continuous flow of value difficult, if not impossible. In the program team, ask the product owners to reduce the feature size. The smaller the feature, the more the team can collaborate together to keep the feedback loop small and succeed at delivering. 15.2.2. Some teams have hardening sprints. Hardening sprints are a tremendous risk to your program. Hardening sprints are an indication of incomplete work. Teams did not get their features to done in the committed time. People can make mistakes in their estimation. But if teams need hardening sprints, they need to change their approach. They have technical debt, and that debt may be a program-level risk. If you have teams who discover and fix feature defects late in the game, when the team thinks that feature is complete, you have added a tremendous risk to your program. The developers multitask. They stop work in the feature that they're working on now, return to a previous feature where they might not remember all the context, fix it, and then return to the feature they were working on. As a program manager, watch for these problems. You will see it in feature teams not completing features they expected to, or in feature teams saying they need time to fix defects or perform hardening sprints. Suggest that the team measure their cumulative flow to show where the work is. Make it easy for people to bring you bad news. Do not be nasty about this problem. Help people be honest about where they are in their agile or lean journey. Hardening sprints or fixing defects in a feature long after it was created are two examples of a similar problem, not getting to done on stories. There can be many reasons for this: insufficient testing, insufficient test automation, partial teams, people multitasking, to name just a few. As a program manager, encourage the feature teams to perform retrospectives and discover why they have these problems. In addition, encourage the product owners for those feature teams to make the stories smaller. Smaller stories will help the team see their problems faster and fix them faster. A hardening sprint does not allow you to have releasable products at all times. Know if you have partial teams or people multitasking on your program, especially if you have target dates or a target budget. Your risks rise with partial teams or multitasking. 15.2.3. You have partial feature teams. A feature team has all the roles it needs to create features. It's a cross-functional team of no more than 9 people. I prefer teams of 4 to 6 people. You might not have feature teams because a team might be missing testers, user experience people, or database admins. The team is missing some role or roles and cannot complete features by itself. You might have this problem because the organization was lopsided to start. The managers, before you started to use Agile, thought it was fine to have many developers and share testers, user experience people, or DBAs. In a serial lifecycle, maybe it was okay. It's not okay in Agile. Don't add teams of developers and create incomplete lopsided teams. You don't get more throughput with extra developers without additional testers or business analysts or writers or whatever makes a cross-functional team in your organization. If your developers can work alone and produce features by themselves, okay. I have yet to see developers do that, and not to be blind to their own defects. What you care about in your program is the throughput of running tested features. You don't want partial teams to create work in progress. That's waste. Partial feature teams is an artifact of waterfall thinking, optimizing for resource efficiency. Your management wants to throw people at the product. Don't let them. If everyone is agile, you may not need as many people as your management thinks you do. You have continuous integration. You have feature teams. Don't start with more people than you need. Say thank you. The program doesn't need more people than we can have on fully staffed feature teams. Unless you can staff feature teams with testers and product owners, I can't use these developers. They will slow us down. Thank you anyway. Emphasize that you want flow efficiency, moving features, deliverables through the program. If that doesn't convince them, estimate the cost of delay for partial teams. This is why you say, at some point, we will need testers for those developers or whatever role you're missing. At that time, either we have a delay while we try to integrate someone into the team, or we will have to ask people to multitask. That delay, which I estimate to be some number, will affect the entire program. 15.2.4. You need experts to complete a story. If you are in the midst of your transition to Agile, you have plenty of experts. You may not have people who are generalizing specialists, people who specialize in one area and are capable of flexing their intellectual muscles in related areas. Here's an example of what I mean by a generalizing specialist. As a developer, I loved writing platform and middleware layers. I was not so excited about the user interface. I specialized in the platform and secondarily in the middleware. However, a feature isn't a feature unless the user can see it. I needed UI skills. I worked hard and often with other people to develop a sufficient knowledge of what constituted reasonable UI approaches. I often worked with UI designers who used paper prototypes to determine what the UI would be. I had guidelines. I was able to create features. I went from a specialist in the platform of being a full-stack developer. I would never call myself a UI guru. On the other hand, with some help across the organization, I could create features. There are other kinds of specialists, such as database admins or people who just do the financials or diagnostics. These people have focused on one area of the code base. They might be able to create features, but only in that area. Teams without specific knowledge in one area are often reluctant to change code in that area. Or the team may want to wait for an expert. You have another risk, another cost of delay. Teams have to learn to become the experts they need to be able to help build features across the code base. They may find this quite difficult. You can help in several ways. Acknowledge that this work will be difficult for the team. If the expert is available, ask the expert to work with the team in a short time box, such as 1 week, to transition the expert's knowledge to the team. Make sure the expert works with the team for that time box, and then the expert transitions away. If the team needs further help, can the expert have office hours for the team to call him or her? The goal is to not need the expert any longer. Ask the team members to pair around features they believe they need an expert to complete. Sometimes the team members can understand what's going on as pairs. Sometimes two heads are better than one. Ask the team members to swarm in the work. This works especially well when the team members use test-driven development and generate automated tests first so the tests support the team's work. You may have to help the teams transition past specialist thinking. 15.3. The teams have dependencies on other teams. Are your product development teams able to work through your entire stack to produce a feature? In Figure 15.2 of the supplemental materials, Implement by Feature, you can see how feature teams would implement an entire small feature through the stack. If a team doesn't have the right people to deliver a full feature, what impediments can you remove so the team does have all the people it requires on the team to implement a full feature? Sometimes teams have much more complex features because they have dependencies on other teams. I see this a lot with component teams. Each team is able to implement their part. However, no one can realize the value of a feature until all the component teams finish their pieces. One team I coached explained that they had curly Q features. See Figure 15.3. They didn't have straight line features. They had interdependencies with other teams that led to large features that looked like the image, CurlyQ features. Sometimes CurlyQ features might be an artifact of Conway's Law. Imagine that on your program, the middleware people are in Paris, the UI people are in Edinburgh, the App Layer 1 people are in Denver, the App Layer 2 people are in Raleigh, and the platform people are in San Francisco. You need all those teams to deliver one feature. The features are large and have dependencies on other teams. When you hear dependencies on other teams or experts, You know that the teams are not feature teams. I provided suggestions for helping the teams become feature teams. At the least, ask the teams to create Kanban boards so everyone can visualize where the feature is in its development. 15.4. Your features span several iterations. What I see in some teams quite new to Agile. Do your features span iterations? Are they too large to finish in a day or so? If so, make your features smaller. Making features smaller will help the team see its progress. The smaller features also provide feedback to the product owner / customer. That feedback will help the product owner make the story smaller and will help the team complete its work inside the iteration. If you're using Kanban, this is similar to seeing a board not change for weeks while the same features are still on the board, nothing moving. You're also likely doing staged integration. If you need help making stories smaller, try defining scenarios instead of stories. Then see if you can work by value in the scenario. See Jeff Patton's user story mapping, Goyko Adich's impact mapping, making a big impact with software products and projects, and Adich and Evans' 50 quick ideas to improve your user stories. Review Pavel Brodzinski's minimal indispensable feature set, all referenced in the bibliography of the supplemental materials. 15.5. You don't have frequent enough deliverables. If you have frequent internal releases, regardless of whether or not you release your product, everyone can see the product grow. If you don't have monthly deliverables, ask teams to release something complete each week. That will help them see their impediments to releasing monthly. When everyone can see the product grow, everyone can gain feedback on the product's progress. The product owners learn about the stories, how valuable they are, how large or small they are, and how easy or difficult they are to implement. The developers and testers learn how well they do at developing and testing the product. The UX designers learn how well they do at user experience design for this product, and so on. When you make your product releasable often, you practice. Some of you are saying, "We release multiple times every day. I don't see what's so great about releasing once every single month." If you have a large program of more than 15 teams, especially a program with hardware, it can be quite difficult to release anything, never mind release a product of value, once a month. 15.6. Teams don't finish when they say they're done. Some teams, especially those new to Agile or Lean, have problems with the idea of done. That's when you start hearing about done-done or done-done-done. The way to get to done is to use the technical practices, automated system testing, automated test-driven development, ATDD, test-driven development, TDD, or behavior-driven development, BDD, and especially continuous integration on small stories. Some teams and product owners have a lot of trouble with the idea of small stories. Some teams have a ton of trouble integrating the technical practices because they've not practiced them daily as part of their professional lives. You, as a program manager, can't make teams change. You can invite them to change. You can ask them for results you want. You can support them and ask, "How can I help?" Explain, "I don't care how many features you finish in an iteration or in a flow. I care that the feature is done." Once you really get to done reliably, you can start thinking about increasing velocity, if you want to. However, in my experience, small features that are no longer than 2 days long will help you accomplish several things. Finishing your features when you say you will. Seeing your progress better. Getting to done when you are done, and not doing more than you need to for a given feature. 15.6.1. Develop communities of practice to help teams as peers. If some teams have trouble with some practices, they need help with change. Remember, people change one person at a time. Try this checklist. 1. Do people know what they need to do? Maybe people need training first. 2. Do people have adequate tools to perform their jobs? Maybe people don't have the tools they need. If your program is anything like the programs I've seen, Some teams do not have access to the same infrastructure as other teams. It's crazy, but true. Fix the infrastructure problem, and you have fixed the problem. 3. Explain the risks of non-compliance with the desired results. Some people and teams don't realize the effect their actions have on other people and teams. Remember, on an Agile program, the Agile program manager facilitates the work of the project/feature teams. The Agile program manager does not demand. The Agile program manager does not lay down the law. The Agile program manager does not say, "Here's how it's going to be, folks." On the other hand, the Agile program manager can point out the consequences or risks of not taking certain actions. If we don't integrate as we go, we will never meet this demonstration date, or the trade show date, or the desired release date, or some other date, or manage some other risk. I'm quite happy to explain the risks to the feature teams. They are adults. But if the software program manager explains the risks, or even says, "I have a funny feeling about this, and I can't explain it, but I think this is risky, and I would like your help on managing the risk of not integrating as we proceed," most people will respond and say, "Okay, let's see how we can get closer to continuous integration." Or they'll say, "Hey, this is really hard," or "This is really expensive," or "We know how to do it with lots of branches, which is crazy," or "We only know how to do it if we break the build," or any number of other problem statements. They're not stupid. They may be intimidated by technical practices, but they're not stupid. And they may have doubts about the cost of servers or breaking the builds, doubts which are real. 15.7. Principles of Troubleshooting Agile Team Issues. 1. Help each team deliver as often as possible. The principle is, deliver working software frequently. 2. Invite teams to change. Don't mandate a change. Instead, create a vision of a better program with the changes. The principle is, build projects around motivated individuals. Trust them to get the job done. 3. If teams are not retrospecting to see what causes them to have trouble, ask them to do so. The principle is, reflect and adjust at regular intervals. Chapter 16. Integrating Agile and Non-Agile Teams in Your Program. You might want to use Agile or Lean approaches in your programs. But what if you have a mixture of Agile and Waterfall teams? Or maybe you have component teams instead of feature teams. Maybe you have people who talk Agile but don't work in an Agile way. If you're in that position, here are some alternatives to help your program become more agile. You will have to decide how much external help you need from coaches or trainers. Do not expect that you can move an entire program, especially not a large one, to agile by yourself. Agile and Lean are based around trust, autonomy, and collaboration. You trust people to deliver unless they don't. If they don't, you can ask them what their obstacles are, and if they need help, removing them. Treating people like adults and having adult expectations of them gives you most of the same results as asking for the same stuff and calling it agile. People will live up to your expectations of them. You can say, "Here are the results I want as the program manager. If you can work this way, we will get the benefits." If the ideas here don't work, consider the ideas in "What if Agile and Lean are not right for you?" in Chapter 17. Agile and Lean program management are supposed to make your life easier, not more difficult. 16.1. Waterfall teams are part of your program. Some teams don't know or don't want to use Agile approaches on their projects, and they're on your program. You have possibilities for managing the interdependencies with the Agile teams. 1. Make sure you use deliverable-based planning for all the projects. If your program uses the ideas in Create the Agile Roadmap from Section 4.7, you will use deliverable-based planning. 2. Ask the non-Agile projects to determine their deliverable-based milestones, preferably one each month. You can ask the non-Agile projects to deliver their deliverables once each month. 3. Ask all projects to use an incremental approach to delivery. No waiting until the end of the program to deliver. For many people on the Waterfall teams, this is a huge change. The developers might not want to release their code into the code base until it is all done. The testers might not know how to test partially implemented features. And if the testers on the non-Agile projects are still testing a previous project or release, you will have to remove that multitasking obstacle. You need to work with the product owners for the non-Agile teams so they create an Agile roadmap and short interim releases. 4. Use rolling wave planning to plan the program. You don't have to keep a 4-week wave. You can use a shorter wave. Do not use a wave longer than 4 weeks. The program needs to release something each month. 5. Ask the Waterfall teams to use Kanban so they can see their WIP. You and they need to know if they have a ton of work in progress that they're not delivering. 6. Ask each project to measure their cumulative flow. Be ready to explain to the teams or project managers how to do this. Each team needs to see all their work in progress. This will help them all see their dependencies. The more interdependencies the teams have, the more they have to talk with each other to break them. They might need more deliverables. They might need a Kanban board to see bottlenecks across the program. You, the software program team, and the core team can help with these problems. But until they see work in progress, they won't know what they need. The non-Agile projects will start to look like stage delivery or design-to-schedule lifecycle projects. In a sense, that's cheating because they're no longer strict Waterfall projects. That will work. No one gets credit for strict adherence to Waterfall or Agile. People get credit for successful projects and programs. If you do have people who audit your program for a strict adherence to any approach, that is a risk to your program. You can show good software practices with any approach, even using both Agile and not Agile in the same program. But you don't need anyone looking over your shoulder. If your not Agile projects have project managers, you may have to coach the project managers into working in new and different ways. You, the program manager, have to understand all about project management and servant leadership. Explain the results you want when you need them. Treat the project managers as if they're adults. Help the project managers learn how to manage in a servant leadership way. The non-Agile project staff may feel as if you're forcing them to transition to Agile. You are not. However, they may be unaccustomed to deliverable-based milestones. Invite people to experiment and measure their results. You may need to provide training or a coach for these teams. Do not expect people with a controlling project mindset to automatically adjust to an adaptable project mindset. 16.2. You have teams that produce incrementally, but not in an agile way. Some teams think they're agile if they use the words. These teams have large features that take at least 2-week iteration or longer to release. The teams work on features, so they're developing incrementally. However, their increments are so large that they have tremendous work in progress, or that they take months to finish something before they receive any feedback. These teams cannot complete a feature in 2 or even 3 weeks. Ask the product owners to create feature sets that the team can help break down into smaller features. Explain that you want the team to integrate something that looks like a feature into the code base every single day. You may need to provide the team with some coaching or training. I've met many teams who have not even read one Agile book and don't realize how to work in an Agile or Lean way. 16.3. You have teams that prototype and don't complete features. Some prototyping can be quite helpful. For example, in an architectural spike, the output might be a proof of concept or a prototype. However, if a team only prototypes and never finishes features, that's a problem. Ask the team to create a Kanban board so everyone can see the state of the features. Ask the team to define and manage their WIP. Ask the team to define what done means for them. Ask the team to conduct a retrospective so they can understand what they did and how they did it. Now the team and you have data. Maybe the team can take it from here. Maybe the team needs help in some way and the Kanban board will show everyone that data. I worked with a team that had this problem. Their testers were multitasking on so many other projects, I wondered how the team even had the feedback on their prototypes. Another team didn't realize their definition of done was inadequate. Teams who don't complete features need some sort of problem-solving advice. Don't impose help on the team until you have the data. Consider helping them learn how to discover their data for themselves. 16.4. Principles of integrating agile and not agile teams in your program. 1. Use deliverable-based planning for the program and for each team. The more often each team has deliverables, the more they will see what they have to deliver to the program and when. With those deliverables, you'll be able to see any team's obstacles. The principles are eliminate waste, and working software is the primary measure of progress. 2. There are no prizes for how agile any team is. The only thing that counts is delivering working product. The principles are deliver early and often to satisfy the customer and empower the team. 3. Only take fully staffed teams and fully assigned people on your program. Do not take multitasked people on your program. The principle is the best architectures, requirements, and designs emerge from self-organizing teams. If you have trouble with this principle, see Troubleshooting Agile Team Issues, Chapter 15. Chapter 17. What to do if Agile and Lean are not right for you? You've read this book and you think, okay, this is great, but it's not going to work for me, our program, or our organization. Maybe you've decided the culture won't support Agile and Lean now, or you have many waterfall projects in addition to some Agile projects in your program. Maybe you're new to Agile, your iterations are longer than 2 weeks, and your risk is too high. Maybe your managers want to exert too much control in the projects over what people do, move people like chess pieces, and not manage the project portfolio. You have options. You do not have to run a program in waterfall. You can take advantage of everything you know about project management, about deliverable-based planning, about cross-functional collaborative teams, about reducing work in progress, everything you know from Agile and Lean, and good project management practices to make your project successful. This is called thinking. Your organization pays you and anyone involved in a program to think, especially if you are the program manager and are supposed to manage risks and remove obstacles. Some of the ideas in this chapter might work for you. I encourage you to try them. Along the way, as people relax and learn more about Agile and Lean approaches, maybe you can apply more ideas. Don't call these ideas agile or lean. They're not. They are reasonable, practical, pragmatic approaches to completing programs. See what might work for you. I encourage you to involve people in your program. Whatever you do, don't call them best practices. That will kill people's excitement about trying anything. If you need a name for these ideas, call them potentially useful practices. Invite people and teams to experiment, measure their progress, and reflect. If the data says things aren't working and you've given the idea enough time, try something else. The worst thing that happens is you return to waterfall with no replanning. As we know, that is the worst thing that can happen. Because on a program, Murphy's Law is waiting to happen. Murphy will make you replan. Here are some possibilities depending on your program risks. 17.1. Try an incremental life cycle. For many years, I used stage delivery as my preferred approach and time-boxed everything so we had a chance of making management's mandated dates. Refer to Figure 17.1, Staged Delivery Life Cycle, and Figure 17.2, Designed to Schedule Life Cycle, in the supplemental materials. A stage delivery or designed to schedule life cycle are incremental life cycles. These life cycles allow you to build features, one feature at a time, integrating and testing as you proceed. For more information on incremental life cycles, read Manage It, Your Guide to Modern Pragmatic Project Management. Notice that not all of the features are the same size. The teams do not necessarily align on feature boundaries. Do not kid yourself. This could be difficult if your features are big and you do not time box the features. Your teams may not be able to integrate without the assistance of a release engineering or some sort of integration team if the features are not small. I have used stage delivery to manage a program. I found time boxing to be a big help. I time box the initial requirements, gathering to no more than 1 or 2 weeks. I explain to the product managers or anyone else involved, please provide a ranked list, as in 1, 2, 3, 4, down to 57 or 98 or whatever by 2 weeks from now. You can change it later, but we need to start in the most important features. The most important features will drive our architectural decisions. We did not descend into requirements hell. I also time-boxed the BDUF, Big Design Up Front, piece. All of my experience tells me that the initial architecture will be wrong. I much prefer it when we do 3 features first and then select an architecture. However, I'm not always successful convincing the architects of this. If you aren't successful either, time box this effort to no more than 2 weeks. If you already have many people on the program, make sure you have people working on learning how to work together. Refer to how to start a program with more people than you need from section 13.5 and apply those principles to this approach. Now you can time box the features. For example, you can say, let's make sure we can deliver something every month. Let's time box all of our features to fit into a 1-month time box. These life cycles are not agile approaches. They will not revolutionize your culture in the same way as agile does. However, if you cannot move to 2-week iterations and complete features every day or so in your feature teams, try these approaches. Principles I use in an incremental life cycle. 1. Time box everything. You don't have to work in iterations, but make sure you time box features. 2. Use monthly milestones and integrate everything at least every month. More often is better. 3. Make sure you have a product release or a demonstration at least every once a quarter. Every month is better. Why? So you can see the product. This is incremental work, not iterative and incremental. However, you will see the product grow month by month, especially if you use 2-week or 1-month time boxes. 17.2. Organize by feature team. Instead of organizing by architectural component, consider organizing by feature team. You don't have to change where people sit. That might be too much change. But do change their allegiance from their function to their feature set. Make no mistake, this has the potential to manifest enormous change in the organization. I introduce this in this way. I'm going to be asking for monthly visible deliverables by feature. The best way I know how to accomplish that is for people to work together in feature teams. I realize I am asking you to split up the developer, tester, writer, business analyst, and all the other teams that sit together. It's okay if you've grown now. I have seen cross-functional teams that create features work together really well. In addition, to make sure you folks still know who you are and know the issues that are difficult for you, I'd like to see you have community of practice meetings every week or every other week. These are learning sessions or knowledge sharing sessions. These are for your professional development. I realize this is a big change. How about if we experiment and try it for a month and see what happens? When you frame things as an experiment, you invite people to try it. You are not mandating any change. You are asking them to try something. Make sure you schedule a retrospective to see what works and doesn't work at the end of the month. Include the retrospective on the schedule when you ask for this reorganization. 17.3. Learn to release interim deliverables. Before I learned about Agile, I had a guideline that the entire program had to deliver something every month. That is, we as a program had to see something visible every month. Believe me, this was a struggle with hardware. We often had to see a simulation. The best thing you can do for your program is to learn to deliver often. Why? You build trust between the feature teams by delivering to each other. You build trust between the program and your management team by delivering. Delivering is crucial. If you say to the technical teams on the program, we might not be ready for Agile, but there's this idea in Agile that I think we can do, monthly deliverables. Do you think we can have every team deliver something every month? Now sit back and listen to people. Sometimes when you say things such as, we might not be ready, people take it as a challenge. Yes, we are, they say. Other people agree with you. You can always say, here are the principles that we want to live by, and then suggest that releasing early and often is one of the principles. 17.4. Learn how to reduce batch size with a large program. Back in Create the Big Picture Roadmap in section 4.8, I explained the differences between epics, themes, and feature sets. If you have large features in your program, it's often because the product owners do not know how to break apart the feature sets into small, 1 or 2 day features. The teams may have to help their product owners break the epics, themes, and feature sets into small stories. The product owners may not have the product expertise to know how to do so. If the product owners don't have the time to break apart the epics, themes, or feature sets into small stories, you have a major risk and an impediment to your program. What else are these people doing? I am sure they are not twiddling their thumbs. I suspect they are not working full-time on your program. You can fix that. The smaller the batch size, the story, the faster the teams will work. The faster they work, the faster they will integrate, maintaining momentum on your program. Help the product owners reduce batch size. The product roadmap and backlog creation is key to your program's success. 17.5. Try release trains. If you are not ready for Agile, you can use release trains and see your product grow with each release. The teams might work in mini waterfalls instead of by feature. The value of a release train is that you have to release something every train. When you use release trains externally, you commit to yourself and to your customers to release your product on a particular date every quarter. The quarter is an iteration. If you are a program manager, you can ask your teams to consider an iteration of somewhere between 6 weeks and 8 weeks. At worst, you can ask your teams to commit to an iteration of 12 weeks. In a program, you are not an external customer. You are internal. Because you are working with project teams, feature teams, you don't need marketing collateral or training to be ready internally. You only need the software to be integrated and possibly to be married to the hardware. That is difficult enough. You want the non-agile project teams to start learning how to use deliverable-based planning in small chunks and to focus on what the customer will be able to use. The release train is not agile because it takes too long to obtain feedback from a product owner or a customer. However, release trains allow you to manage risk. These teams will likely be using small waterfalls unless you can convince them to use iterative or incremental life cycles. But you as a program manager can manage the program risk better with the train because it allows you to obtain those small deliverables periodically. Sure, the deliverables aren't every 2 weeks. They probably aren't every 4 weeks either. But they are more often than every 6 months, and that's an improvement. Release trains decouple the releasing of the product from the projects. That is, release trains set their dates in stone in advance and are often tied to a specific date in the quarter or the month, like a train's timetable. Then the contents of the train are determined by what the teams think they can accomplish. When a feature is done, it is eligible to be released. Release trains never extend the time box, just as trains never change the time they leave the station. Figure 17.3 in the supplemental materials is what a release train looks like. I am using quarters here because the picture looks better. You could use months as an alternative. You can use any periodic iteration, such as 6 weeks or 8 weeks, as long as you use a consistent iteration. These iterations build a cadence for your program. Between releases, you can ask the teams to organize so they build by feature. Often, teams use an incremental lifecycle such as design to schedule or a stage delivery lifecycle because they fit the parameters of the release train so well. Some teams who are comfortable with Rational Unified Process, RUP, use that. You could use a Kanban board to limit work in progress and still make sure features get done. Remember, it doesn't matter what lifecycle the team uses. It only matters that you have finished features in the codebase by the end of the iteration, when the train is ready to pull away from the station. A release train does not have the same focus and urgency a shorter time box has. When your time box is 8 or 12 weeks, other problems can arise and change the backlog for the time box. Remember, the project team only gets feedback once their train leaves the station. In programs, committing to a ranked backlog for a train can be tricky. Why? Because the product owner will want to change the roadmap more frequently than once a quarter. Changing the roadmap can prevent the teams from completing anything. I recommend you use Kanban for the non-agile team. The team takes work off the queue, always working in the most important feature. Since they're working in a time box, does it matter which features they work on? No. Release trains provide you more predictability. They reduce risk compared to a waterfall. They do not provide the ability to change often. Measure your time to releasable deliverable, as in measure the time to your releasable deliverable. Make sure your time to release stays at whatever cadence you decide and that it doesn't increase because you need hardening sprints. And what about those of you who have long lead time items, such as hardware of some variety or mechanical engineering parts? Use deliverable-based planning and rolling wave scheduling and keep those parts of the program using release trains for their design. Managing a program of agile and non-agile projects is a fact of program management life. It's not going to go away. You will need all the tips and tricks to make it easy. Release trains are an old technique, but you can apply them in a new way. What have you got to lose? 17.6. Principles for what to do if Agile and Lean are not right for you. If Agile and Lean are not going to work in your organization, keep these principles in mind. 1. Work by feature whenever possible. Make those features small so the teams can integrate them continuously. The principle is deliver early and often to satisfy the customer. 2. Tell the teams you want them to work in small world networks, to be autonomous, collaborative, and exploratory. Just because you're not doing Agile or Lean does not mean you can't ask people to work in a highly collaborative way. Do so. The principles are empower the team, and the best architectures, requirements, and designs emerge from self-organizing teams. 3. Maintain your stance as a servant leader. Keep your focus on problem-solving and obstacle removal for the feature teams. You can still run the program teams as if they are Agile or Lean teams solving problems across the organization. The principle is, business people and developers must work together. More from Johanna. I consult, speak, and train about all aspects of managing product development. I provide frank advice for your tough problems. I'm more interested in helping you become more effective than I am in sticking with some specific approach. There's a reason my newsletter is called The Pragmatic Manager. That's because I am. If you liked this book, you might also like the other books I've written. Diving for Hidden Treasures, Finding the Real Value in Your Project Portfolio. Predicting the Unpredictable, Pragmatic Approaches to Estimating Project Schedule or Cost. Project Portfolio Tips, 12 Ideas for Focusing on the Work You Need to Start and Finish. Manage Your Job Search, Hiring Geeks That Fit. Manage Your Project Portfolio, Increase Your Capacity and Finish More Projects. Manage It, Your Guide to Modern Pragmatic Project Management. Behind Closed Doors, Secrets of Great Management. In addition, I have essays in Reading for Problem-Solving Leadership, Center, Enter, Turn, Sustain, Essays on Change Artistry. I'd like to stay in touch with you. If you don't already subscribe, please sign up for my email newsletter, The Pragmatic Manager, on my website. Please do invite me to connect with you on LinkedIn or follow me on Twitter at Johanna Rothman. I would love to know what you think of this book. If you write a review of it somewhere, please let me know. Thanks. Johanna. This is Zoe Walrond. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Agile and Lean Program Management by Johanna Rothman. This program was produced by Dion Audio Services. The director was Vanessa Melendez. Executive Producer, Jamie Dupress. Text copyright 2016 by Johanna Rothman. Production copyright 2016 by Johanna Rothman. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.